This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I'm struggling. I'm sick. I'm in so much pain. They mock me. They ridicule me. They oppress me. Is following you all in vain? Is it worthless?
All right. Welcome back to the podcast, y'all. We have Marshall joining us, my pastor, and a man of great advice.
Appreciate that, man.
Marshall, where are you from?
Austin, Texas.
Oh, you're not. You are?
Yeah.
From there?
I'm born there, but we moved around a lot. So Central Texas. So Austin, Georgetown, Bastrop, back to Austin, Cedar Park for a little bit.
What about Smithfield? Does that have, where does that come in?
That's what I meant by Bastrop. Nobody knows where Smithfield is, so I said Bastrop. But that was junior high and high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about before that? You were in Austin before?
Before Smithville.
Like where was elementary school?
Elementary school would have been Austin and Cedar Park. We moved in the middle of elementary school.
You were like Central Texas born and raised.
Yeah, yeah. Seton downtown, that's where I was born.
There's this book that Bernie showed me called The Intentional Father.
Yeah.
And it talked about that term raised.
Yeah.
And now it has Roman roots where the woman would lay the baby on the at the foot of the father, and if he wanted the baby, he would raise it up in front of everyone.
Okay.
And if he didn't want it, he would just turn his back and walk away.
Interesting.
And since then, we get that term raised up. Like, I was raised. I was raised by my grandparents. I was raised by my parents. Okay. I've never really thought about, what does that even mean, raised?
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought about it. That's interesting.
Yeah. So glad, you're raised.
Glad my dad raised me up.
He raised you up in Central Texas.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to answer some of these questions?
I'll do my best.
People love you here. That's why you're back again, and hopefully, Lord willing, many other times.
Yeah. I love being here.
We answer your questions. You email podcast@grangersmith.com. And this first one comes from Chastity. It says, "Hey, Granger, my name is Chastity. Lately, I've been struggling with emotions and getting so easily upset over the past. Past hurts that are resurfacing. I was explaining to my husband that some days I feel so on fire for Jesus and I want to tell everyone about him and I'm so excited to be a child of God. Then there are other times when I feel so overwhelmed and emotional over feeling ignored by others or just over things that have already happened. My question is, how do I have faith? Because I know that it isn't always based on feelings. It's more trust. And do I keep from getting so overwhelmed by emotions and acting out, saying things that hurt others? Thank you so much for all you do. God bless." All right, Chastity, let me recap from my own mind here. You're wondering, first of all, your big question is, how do I have faith? And then you say, because it isn't always based on feelings, it's more trust. And do I keep from getting, how do I keep from getting overwhelmed by emotions and acting out, saying things that hurt others? So there's like stuff under here. that we don't totally know about in your question. It's apparent that you're acting out and hurting others, and that is part of the purpose of this email. And that, you're saying, is associated with your past hurts that are resurfacing. I'm explaining for myself, but all this is totally normal. This isn't abnormal for someone to say an email just like this. But the fact that you say, I feel so on fire for Jesus and I want to tell everybody about him, and then there are other times we're just overwhelmed by emotion. That's, yes, we hear you. Marshall, where do you start with chastity?
Well, one, you don't want to put your feelings against your faith. They're not enemies.
Yeah.
Right. One you live by and one you just experience. And so faith is the assurance of things hoped for, no matter what you're feeling, positively or negatively. You're on the highest high or the lowest low. You're not letting your feelings dictate your steps forward. And so your faith comes in when you try to think through, okay, I know what I'm feeling, but what do I know to be true? What do I know God's word says about the situation I'm in? And a lot of times, especially when it's the negative feelings of pain and hurt and suffering, the truth is, well, God said we're going to experience this. Like, this is a broken world. I shouldn't be chasing comfort and peace here and now. I should be finding my peace in Christ. Should be chasing the promise of God that this is not the end. There's something better when Christ returns. And so that's where my hope is. And so I can experience the hurt and the pain and the suffering in a way that doesn't overwhelm me, because I know this is not a lasting thing, that this will end. But then it also keeps in check the positive emotions that we have and the positive feelings when we might be tempted to put too much stock into the current situation. If only I can stay in this specific situation, this circumstance, then everything's going to be good moving forward. And so,
yeah, that's interesting. You go right out of the gate and you say, we shouldn't pit our feelings and our trusting, or what'd you say?
You can't pit feelings and faith against each other. They're not enemies.
Chastity, you said, because I know that it isn't always based on my feelings.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's interesting that Marshall's saying, well, why do you need to make those two completely separate things, like as if feelings are crushing your faith, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's what she's implying. And we see it in the Psalms all the time.
Oh, constantly,
as David wrestles through this. Yeah. In fact, you're preaching on it this coming Sunday.
I'm preaching on Psalm 73, where the psalmist sees all these wicked people prospering. He says they're healthy. They have all this money. They have no problems. The biggest problem they have is the fact that they die at some point. But until then, they just live these great lives. And me, who I'm seeking to follow you, God, I'm struggling. I'm sick. I'm in so much pain. They mock me. They ridicule me. They oppress me. Is following you all in vain? Is it worthless? Is like, what is it?
And right there, that's real feelings.
That's real feelings
that he's having.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's not the sense of, hey, stop feeling that way.
Yeah.
Like, you can't control the way you interpret the situation or how you respond to the interpretation of the situation.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're going to experience things in your life that will cause your feelings to ebb and flow. They're going to go up and down. And so your faith is how you respond to those feelings. It's not like, okay, don't feel one way so that you can be faithful. It's how are you going to be faithful in the way that you're feeling?
So let's stop right there and just define that, because you're saying, Chastity says, because I know it, my faith is not based on feelings. And Marshall's saying, no, your faith is how you respond to the feelings.
Right. Yeah. I mean, think about Paul in 1 Thessalonians when he says, you know, when we have loved ones or friends, you know, things like that, who are followers of Jesus who die, he says, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. And the second part tends to be what we lean on. It's like, no, you have hope. So like, be hopeful. And that's true. But the first part is equally as important. He says, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. So there's the reality that he's presenting, but you're going to grieve.
Yeah.
You're going to feel that pain. So you're going to have that feeling of hurt and sorrow. But that grief doesn't find permanent residence in your soul because of the hope that you have. And so he's showing there right there, your faith is going to be the response to the feeling of mm-hmm. grief that you have, because it's the hope that you have. And so, okay, this grief is not going to be a lasting grief.
That's so good.
Yeah. So it's just, that was really helpful when my mom passed away, was thinking through that of, in some sense, I felt for a little bit that I wasn't able to grieve fully because I just grew up where it was kind of like, hey, you're a Christian, have hope. You know, there's resurrection one day, and she's in a better place, and all that kind of stuff. But and really studying 1 Thessalonians and seeing that, it hit me pretty hard. No, Paul acknowledges we're going to have grief, and that is an appropriate time to grieve. But that grief doesn't stay. It's not lasting, because there's something greater than that. And that's what my faith is in.
Oh, dude, that is so good.
So you want your faith to instruct how you work through how you process your feelings. And that's exactly what's happening in Psalm 73 in the sermon this week. Mm-hmm. Like, he lists all these things that he's struggling with. And I'm bringing this up in the sermon. The interesting thing is he lists all this injustice that he sees and the wicked prospering and everything. But the issue that he actually confesses to God is the fact that he was envious of all that. So his biggest concern wasn't that they were experiencing this prosperity. It was the fact that he wasn't. And so he's trying to process all of this. Mm. And it says, like, the turning point of the psalm is when he says, when I thought to understand this, I was exhausted. It was a wearisome task to me until I went to the sanctuary and I learned. And so there's a shift where he takes his feelings, his doubts, his thoughts to the Lord in faith and basically says, I need you to help me understand this. I know what's true is that you're good. He says it at the start of the song. He says, truly God is good. He says, I know this is true, but this is what I'm seeing. I need you to help me understand and reconcile these two things. So there, his faith is influencing his feelings in the sense of directing where he moves forward from them. He could have just stayed in those feelings, right?
Yeah.
Of doubt and hurt and envy. But in faith, he takes it to the Lord and says, I need you to help me understand this. And by the end of it, he's like, whom have I in heaven but you? On earth, there's nothing to desire besides you. And so he really comes to understand, I was starting to treasure so many things above you, and it caused me to feel this way. But when you showed me the end of all of it, so he said, you know, the wicked, they'll perish. They'll be judged for their wickedness that they're doing. So whatever prosperity they have now, that's the extent of their happiness.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get judged. But as for me, this pain and suffering I'm experiencing now pales in comparison to the glory I'm going to be with you one day. And so that faith good. Helps him get through the feelings of doubt and grief and envy and pain. So
that's so good. So Chastity, kind of give you some practical application for this. Your words, you're excited to be a child of God. So as a child of God, you are told that you will suffer. You will have feelings. You will grieve. You will sin. You're told a lot of things about yourself. And it never says that you won't be that, or you won't do that, or you won't feel that. But what the Bible does, it helps you to make sense of those feelings.
That's exactly right.
And when you do suffer, how to suffer well. When you do grieve, how to grieve with hope. So that's the application for you, is that you will go through these. And the fact that you feel or go through these things doesn't mean you're a bad child of God. But how you respond to it is what we want you to know. And then we're going to get into spiritual disciplines with this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what Marshall's basically saying is, when he lost his mother, and I don't know how the scenario worked out, but you went to the Bible and with your feelings. So for instance, Chastity, when you say, well, how does that look like? Bring it to God. When I bring my feelings, what does that look like? Well, it could mean a dark room with a cup of coffee and your Bible, and you go to your Bible in prayer. Yeah. It's like, Lord, I'm coming to your word. I feel this. I think I'm grieving this way. I'm suffering in this way. I have sinned in this way. And I'm taking this to you, meaning practically, I'm sitting here with the Bible in my lap. And Marshall's saying, when this happened with his mother, He found a word in there that transformed and gave him understanding to understand the suffering he was going through.
Yeah.
There's a lot. We could talk for probably an hour about spiritual disciplines and how the different things you could set up, Chastity, in your life to help walk through these. I don't think it's necessary to do that in this podcast.
Yeah. I think the only other thing I would say based on what she said in the email is feeling things based on past experiences. I think there is something to where we shouldn't dwell so much on the past. The Lord has us where we're at today for a reason. And to keep bringing up things in the past is going to keep bringing up the same emotions. And so there's a sense of just keep moving forward, keep pressing on in faith.
Yeah.
Knowing you can't go back and change things. And that God was sovereign over all of it. So you are where you are today for a reason. And just don't dwell so much on the past. Really, I mean, I've told some of our people, like, the only thing you should dwell on that's in the past is the cross. because of all the implications that come from that. And that fuels the faith going forward. So
it's good. Amber and I were told one time, it happened, but it is not happening.
Yeah, it's good.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp. You know, it's a common misconception about relationships that they just have to be easy to be right. And anyone that knows understands that that couldn't be further from the truth. The best ones happen when both people put in the work to make them great. You know, therapy could be a place to work through those kind of challenges that you face in all of those relationships, whether with work, friends, your significant other, or anyone. You know, Amber and I went to therapy, and we were trying to work through the grief and loss from our son, from losing our son. And part of that therapy, though, was building our relationship, even though when we didn't even know it, we were working through putting in the work for each other, for understanding each other, for understanding how we respond or why we respond in certain ways. Areas in our life that we trust each other, that we lean on each other, and areas that we don't at all. Those are things that we figured out in therapy. And maybe you have considered starting therapy. Give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/Granger today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Granger. Next question comes from Grace. Hey, Granger, I've been listening to your podcast a lot, and I feel very motivated by them. What is your advice you'd give to someone who's never dated at the age of 19? How to pick themselves up when everyone around you has a boyfriend and is already hanging out with their significant other instead of you, and then making me feel lonely by myself? How do I keep faith and trust in God, knowing that He has a plan for my future when I'm starting to lose hope? There it is again. Thank you for everything you do for others. Grace. Hey, Grace. Thanks for emailing. 19 years old. Once again, not an uncommon question. You're not alone in asking this. And for you to be 19 and single and have never dated and looking around at a lot of other people that are dating now is very common, very normal.
Yeah.
Although it seems like you're the only one, I could tell you just from this podcast alone, from 226 episodes, I could tell you you're by far, you're not alone. You have a lot of people going through this. And that's the first part. We'll start with that. The second part is 19 seems so old, but you're so young.
Yeah.
You have so much. And I would be so encouraged by you that you've actually not dated and you're 19. And so you think of what you've been saved from, you know,
yeah.
Because all these people you're looking at and all these bad breakups, and probably the next question we get, I don't know, is something bad that's happening in a relationship that people are trying to look. Hey, the question we just had from Chastity, she's looking back at the past at things that are now resurfacing. It probably has to do with a relationship. And Grace, you are free from that right now. You have a clean slate. And so let's start with that. That's your first paragraph. And how to keep my faith and trust God, knowing that He has a plan for the future when I'm starting to lose hope. That's that. And then the middle part of your question is how to stop looking at everyone around you. So let's just try to think just purely practical, Marshall, on this. Without getting too deep with this, I'm gonna assume that social media is a part of the problem. Seems a pretty good assumption.
Yeah.
In 2024, at being 19, that you're gonna see something else popping up on social media when it's another one of your friends and they're in a relationship and they're having a good time, and you're left out.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on social media? And have you and your wife, Alex, thought about any safeguards for your own kids?
I mean, we've started talking about it. Our oldest is 9, so
we got a
little bit of time. But, I mean, who knows what'll be out there by then, right? Like,
so in 10 years,
yeah.
Kim is Grace.
Yeah.
19.
Yeah.
Those are 10 quick years.
Oh, yeah.
So let's think of Kim as your daughter, as Grace, in the situation, right? What are you telling her?
Yeah. I mean, if she's telling me she's losing hope, I'm asking what her hope is in, right?
That's it.
But I'm not gonna go too deep into that because
I don't go there yet.
But,
yeah.
But that's gonna dictate kind of some of the practical advice I give her, because, I mean, part of it would be what you've already said. Like, yeah, 19 seems like you're behind the game, that you should have already dated multiple guys by this point, and it's like, you got plenty of time. Out of all the people I've ever met, I've only met two who are like, I've married my high school sweetheart.
Yep.
Two out of all the people
I've met.
And so it's, you know, the odds are not strong in that favor for that. And so when I think through people dating, it's why do you want to date? Right? Like, if you're wanting to date just to date, that's just going to lead to hurt, because there's no end game in that. It's just, and it's really about yourself. When you think about a relationship, in a relationship, you should be thinking about the other person above yourself. And if both people are doing that, that leads to a good relationship.
Yeah.
Right. And so if the idea is, I want to date because I feel like I should have dated by now, that's difficult because you've made it more about you than anybody else. Now, I have talked to people who feel like I haven't dated yet because I must not be good enough. Nobody's found me attractive. Nobody finds me lovable. Nobody wants to be with me. And in that, if that's the case, then we have a whole other discussion on our hands, right? So if Kim's telling me that, like, I feel like I'm worthless. I feel like nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. Nobody wants to be with me. Again, at 19, I'm pushing against that a little bit, saying, hey, you're only 19. Don't stress about it. But, you could take the conversation two different ways at that point.
And so, yeah, I don't think Grace is going there.
I don't think so either, which is why I didn't start there. Yeah. But I do think there is the sense, it sounds more like I feel like I should have dated by now.
Yes.
And I haven't. And so, yeah.
If London, my daughter, came to me and said, could you give me an example of something you would love for me to say in the next 7 years? I would say, I would love for you in the next 7 years to say, I've never dated anyone and I'm still 19. I'm just 19. I would love that from my daughter. So what you have, Grace, is truly a gift. And I hope you see it that way. And because then we can go to your last question. How do you keep faith and trust in God, knowing He has a plan for your future, but you're starting to lose hope? And I go, if I'm your father, Grace, I say, my hope is that you are still single at 19.
Yeah.
So how much more would our Heavenly Father want for us?
Yeah, and I think there's a sense of, you know, I can't remember how she worded it right there, even though you just read it, but how do I remain faithful, trusting God in this whole thing? It's interesting because His word actually speaks to this when Paul says, I wish you were all single.
Yeah.
Because then you could devote a lot of time to the ministry like I'm doing, just to not like paid ministry or working in a church, but just there's so much you could be doing for God right now when you don't have to worry about a significant other. You don't have to worry about children. You have so many freedoms in that sense. And so what scripture speaks to this is if you're 19 and you're not dating, the Lord actually says that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, if you're not dating, if you haven't found somebody that you're potentially getting married to, if He hasn't brought that person in your life, then He's put you in a position where you have a lot of freedoms to serve Him in specific ways. And so, you know, how do I remain faithful without losing hope and knowing what God's plan is for me in this? His plan for you is just to glorify Him in everything, whether you're dating or not. And so when you're not dating, you have all these freedoms that you can do to serve Him better. And so how do you do it? What's the practical step? Figure out the ways you're serving the Lord. How are you seeking to glorify Him in everything you're presently doing? I'm assuming you're in church being a Christian. And so there's, you can go on mission trips more easily than if you were, with somebody, or have kids. That's more difficult when you get those situations in your life. So you can go on mission trips. You can be in more Bible, you can go to Bible study. You can be in meeting with more ladies in the church for discipleship and then discipling some of the younger ladies in the church. And so you have all these opportunities to be serving the Lord. And, how am I supposed to know God's plan for my life in this point? Well, He actually tells you, if you're single, you have all the freedoms to do so many things.
Yeah.
So go and do them.
Man, I was just, I don't remember if you're with me or not, Marshall, but recently someone told me, I don't remember who it was. They told me they met their wife on mission. I was like, oh man, that's a pretty good place to meet your future spouse.
Yeah.
So that's what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a book we can recommend, Grace?
Not Yet Married.
Not Yet Married
by Marshall Siegel.
Okay.
Siegal, I believe.
Cool.
So that's a good question.
I'm a fan of the outdated book, Jonathan Bakluta, Outdated. I think that is, it's probably the closest target to your exact question here. Even though that's coming from a married man, it's always a little bit more difficult when it's coming from someone that's not in your situation at all. Next question comes from Austin. Hey, Granger, I live in North Georgia. I'm 22 years old and a few months away and hopefully getting engaged to my girlfriend of 4 years. I've been listening to this podcast for about a year now. And my question for you is about growing my faith and reading the Bible. A goal of mine is to eventually read the whole Bible. I've tried to start multiple times, but I always end up not following through. I always get stuck feeling like reading the Bible just to read is a chore, and I don't feel like I get as much out of it as I do when I study certain topics, for example, doing a devotional or reading along with a pastor at church. Should I focus on reading the whole Bible? And if so, what would be the best way to focus on that? Or should I just read and study certain topics? Thanks for all you do to help build the kingdom of God. God bless. And that is Austin. Austin, I'm going to agree with you right off the bat. It's something you said here. You said, I feel stuck feeling like reading the Bible just to read it is a chore. And I don't feel like I get as much out of it when I do. I agree.
Yeah.
And I think God would agree.
Yeah.
If you're reading it just to read it, I mean, I don't really know anything in life you could say that about. Doing something just to do it, you're not going to get anything out of it, regardless of fill in the blank with whatever that is, including the Bible. So when the Bible becomes a chore, or when you think of the Bible as something that you need to read because that's what you need to do, it is certainly getting into the category of works for righteousness at that point. It is becoming, you said the word, Austin, a chore. So if that's where you are and you're like, man, I've heard people say I should read the whole Bible, and I feel like I probably should read the whole Bible. It just makes sense. But man, I cannot stand doing it. And I've tried and I've given up, and it feels like a chore because I'm just doing it because I'm trying to, you know, put a check in the box. And to all that, I say, okay, then we probably need to aim lower, and we need to go backwards a little bit. And in the spiritual disciplines, like we mentioned earlier, let's back up a little bit. Because first of all, what I always like to encourage is, instead of thinking of reading the entire Bible, I don't really even like that terminology. I don't like to think of it in that way.
Yeah.
Because it immediately makes me think of reading it to finish it.
Yeah.
And it should never be like that. And unless you're taking some kind of math class, then I don't think any book should be looked at as reading it just to finish it. What good is it at all? So back way up, aim way lower, and go, you know what? I want to start reading, say, the book of John. But I don't want to necessarily read the book of John. I don't want to read the whole Bible, and I don't want to read the whole book of John. I just want to read the first chapter. And if that seems like too much, then I just want to read the first page in my Bible of John.
Oh.
I'm going to start there because I know that this whole Bible reading thing is something I should do, but your eyes have to be open to that. And this is from someone speaking to you right now that understands what it felt like to have my eyes closed to it, to have the dust collecting on the Bible itself. And I can't tell you, I can't open your eyes, Austin, and I can't tell you that you need to be doing this. And if you want to be a Christian, you need to read your Bible. I can't do it. I can only encourage you if you're going, I'm hungry. I love God. My eyes are open. I want to know His word. And I'm going to go, oh, let me show you where it is. It's right here in the Bible. And you've probably heard me go through that whole spiel before on this podcast or somewhere else. And that's not what I would say to you. To you, I would say, we have to get our heart right first. And that's going to start with prayer.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just trying to picture this and try to give you just a practical look for this, Austin. And so I'm thinking, I hate to always say early in the morning, but you know, for me in my life, the morning is better for my personal reading, because that's before my phone starts buzzing and the emails come in and Amber has things for me to do. And I've got other obligations. So before all that starts, which is why I always go there, I would get there, Austin, in the time of day when nothing's going on, and just go, Lord, here I am. And my mind tells me that I should be reading this because I've heard it said that this is your word. But Lord, I'm struggling to want to do it, to the desire to do it. And I feel like that's a, I feel like that's a problem. And I also realize that God, my heart is in your hands. Will you soften my heart? Will you open up these pages? Will you open up this word so that I crave it, so that I long for it, so I thirst for it? Like a deer thirst for living waters, you know? I want that for me. I want to desire this. Will you open up that for me, God? And then at that point, Austin, you're not going, okay, Genesis 1, here we go. No, you're like, so I'm going to start with these first couple of paragraphs of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And you're just kind of working through that. And then you stop and you pray, you read it again, maybe. I'll say, what? I mean, 5-10 minutes?
Yeah.
Close the Bible. And the next morning, picking up where you left off. Same prayer.
Yeah.
Second chapter.
Yeah.
You know, just slowly. Aim lower. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Aim lower. Stop thinking about finishing the Bible and closing the back of Revelation and going, I did it. Chalk it up for another one, for another person that's read the Bible. Don't be that guy, Austin. I'm going to shut up and let Marshall dive in on this.
No, I mean, I think all that's good, man. And I don't want to repeat anything Granger said, so I'll just try to add a couple of other practical stuff. I would encourage you to find somebody who's a little more mature in the faith than you will be. And that's not saying you're immature. That's just saying we all have people who are more mature. I have people in my life, yeah, who are more mature believers than I am. And so I go and I am discipled by them. But when you read scripture with somebody else, there's something different that happens, right? Because you start, it's like a three-person conversation. Like God is speaking, and then you're with this other person kind of talking about what God is saying. And one, that helps hold you accountable to actually doing it. But more importantly, they might see something that you don't. Not something new, not something that's like hidden in between the verses, but where they'll say, do you realize what he's saying here? He's actually connecting it back to this. And then you're going, oh, wow, I never made that connection. That's helpful. Little stuff like that then starts feeding that appetite for the word. I mean, if you think about eating healthy, like the stuff that you're supposed to be eating, nobody just dives in it. No, nobody overeats the healthy stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But the more you cut out the junk and the more you start picking up the healthy stuff, you start craving it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so there's that sense of the more you do it, the hungrier you'll get for it, like Granger was saying. But I think when you have somebody else doing it with you, that helps kind of grow that hunger and that desire for it. And then, you know, I hope you're in church. If you're not, I would encourage you to get in church. But if you can, if there's a way to do it, figure out what's getting preached the next Sunday. So like at our church, what I try to do is on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, we were talking about this earlier. On Tuesdays, I try to send out, hey, this is the sermon text that is coming on Sunday. And the reason I'm doing this is because I'm praying that the church throughout the week is reading that passage. And so that might be, you might read that same passage every single day. And what you're doing at that point is you're trying to see, okay, what is this text saying? And how's the pastor going to preach this text? Like, what are some things he might be pulling out of this? And I mean, in fact, what we try to do is we actually try to give out 2 months worth of texts. It's like, hey, this is a schedule we're going through. So there's people just be reading those things to get an understanding of what it is. And so if you're able to in your church, figure out what the next sermon text is and use that as kind of your guide of what to be reading, and then maybe read the passages around it. So if he's preaching 10 verses, read 20 of them and kind of see, yeah, what's happening around it, and use that for your guide of what you're going to be reading. That way you don't set unrealistic goals for yourself. If you've never read the Bible in depth before and you go, all right, this year I'm going the entire cover to cover.
Yeah.
Like, that's like saying I've never swam before, but I'm diving, yeah, in the deep end from the high dive. Like we're going in, and you're just like, that's not going to be successful. You gotta ease yourself into it. So
I smiled earlier because I was just thinking, Austin, first of all, I'm encouraged by your email. Thank you for this. But man, I pray that people come to me. Any believer would think the same thing in your community right now in North Georgia. Any believer is praying that somebody like you would call them or text them and go, I really want to read the Bible. Would you do that with me?
Yeah.
Oh man, like so much of the work I do, the evangelistic work I do is ground up stuff, or it's from people that don't want it, or they're rejecting God, and they come to me with these questions, these like apologetic questions, and it's more rare that someone's like, you know what, I think this is important and I'm hungry. Will you walk this with me?
Yeah.
And every believer in North Georgia says, yes, I will. How about tomorrow? How about coffee tomorrow?
Yeah.
So.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know, if you're looking to get a hold of me, maybe have me send you a message, you know that's available to you right now at cameo.com/GrangerSmith. If you want a personal message, happy birthday, happy anniversary, maybe a bit of encouragement, maybe even a prayer, I could do that and you could find me. You could tell me exactly what you need from me. You could write it out. Hey, Granger, it's my brother's birthday. He's doing this and that. He's into this. He's not into that. He's turning this many years old. Will you please wish him a happy birthday? And I'll do that right here on my phone. I record it and send you the video message of me saying that. You can get that at cameo.com/GrangerSmith anytime. In fact, I do these all the time. Again, it's cameo.com/GrangerSmith. You could also download the Cameo app and search for me, Granger Smith. Next question comes from Nicole. It says, hey, I'd like to get your input on the practice of manifestation. I have a friend who recently started a new business venture that focuses on manifesting yourself, ridding yourself of negative energy, and embracing the power of your body to heal. While I personally believe Jesus is the only answer, I'm having a hard time processing what this new outspoken belief system of my friend does for our friendship. Should I let it change the relationship that we have? I find myself slightly pulling away from that relationship, because how can you be close to someone who has such a different foundational belief? Is it wrong for me to step back from a friendship due to differences of opinion? I want to surround myself with godly, like-minded people who can encourage and help me grow. I'm excited to hear your approach on this friendship and also the practice of manifestation itself. Nicole, thank you. Marshall, we don't have like a ton of time on this. And so I don't think it really needs a lot of time, but One red flag, Nicole, that you have recognized, and maybe you don't even realize it, but your friend is starting a new business venture that's focusing on this. Like that says something right there. Mm. This is not like a faith thing or something that she's really, it doesn't sound like she's something she's really finding comfort in and practicing. She's starting a business venture. And there's big business in this, manifesting yourself, ridding yourself of negative energy, embracing the power of yourself to heal yourself. You know, like those are all just huge red flags for a Christian. And I feel like you know that. And I don't really think you have to hear from me and Marshall on why we think that is an unhealthy thing. So we won't, I don't think we need to go there. What we can do is talk about the middle part of your question is saying, you're talking about the relationship with your friend and you want to be around people that are encouraging you and helping your belief and helping you grow. And to that I say, this is why the Bible will warn us, especially as new believers or ones that are weaker in the faith, to be careful when we are associating with these new ideas. Because when you hear, basically this is a myth, right? So when we hear these myths, we could drift off into this nonsense and actually start believing it ourselves if we're around it too much. Mm. That's a warning if you're newer or weaker in your faith. If that's not you, Nicole, and you're like, no, you know, I feel strong in my faith, then this is definitely an evangelistic opportunity for you that you don't want to cut off necessarily. You don't want to say, hey, I don't believe in that stuff. And because of that, I can't even talk to you. Mm. I don't even want to be friends with you. Yeah. That's not a good thing. That's not a good message to your friend. And it's really, if she's dying in this, which she is, and you're cutting off a lifeline to her by saying, you know what, I just don't agree with what you're saying and I don't want it to start affecting me, would discourage that. Hmm. So these are the two scenarios for her. And I don't know which one she is.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think when we have people who are close to us in our lives who start chasing a different, a myth, chasing a myth, chasing false teaching, basically. The guardrails we have is don't embrace it, don't ignore it, but engage with them. So
don't cut them off, basically.
Yeah, don't cut them off. Don't cut her off. But you also don't interact with her in a way where you're like, I just won't talk about religion. I won't talk about faith. I won't talk about spirituality. I'll just pretend like she has her way, I have my way. You want to be able to have the conversations with her where she knows you disagree, but you can have loving and truthful conversations with her about why you disagree.
Great.
And why you're concerned for her soul for this.
You could ask her questions like, how do you rid yourself of negative energy? Explain that to me. It's a great conversation starter with someone like this.
Yeah. But on the flip side too, I think it also means you're putting in the effort outside of that relationship to grow in your understanding better of what you believe, so that you're not carried away.
Yes.
By this other teaching. So this friendship now may require even more effort than it did previously, because outside of it, you're trying to equip yourself and strengthen yourself.
It's good
to engage with her in a meaningful, loving, but direct way when it comes to this issue, because it isn't just, hey, this could ruin our friendship, or I don't want to rock the boat, but instead it's, you know, this is extremely dangerous for her soul and for those she's influencing. Yeah. And so you want to treat her in love with the truth and pray that the Lord would help her to see the truth and help you grow in the truth.
Amen.
So
that's all we got. Love you guys. See you next Monday.
Yee-yee. See ya.
Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. If you have a question for me that you would like me to answer, email grangersmithpodcast@gmail.com. Yee yee.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.